Welcome to Freshfire's weekly podcast.
You can turn in your Bibles to Mark 9. I want to talk to you today about, and it's going to kind of be a bit of a new series. I don't tend to teach in series, but there are occasions where the Lord drops some things in my heart that needs unpacking over a bit longer. And I want to talk about disciplines. Disciplines. Disciplines on how to get better at faith. How to get better at faith. What do I mean by that? Well, ultimately, faith is the currency of heaven. It's impossible to please God without faith. That you actually need faith to move mountains. You need faith to heal the sick. You need faith to raise the dead. You need faith for your life, for your family, for your finances. You need faith for salvation even. Faith is the currency by which all things supernatural happen. And I believe that where there is an absence of faith, you get a surge of religion. You get religious practice, religious formula, religious strongholds, religious spirits. And in that environment, you get a lot of knowledge, but no power. You get the form of godliness, but the power isn't there. And I believe what Fresh Fire really is all about, it's about being a people of faith who know how to walk in faith and exercise faith so that we see the supernatural as a normal, everyday, natural thing. Right? When was the last time you saw a miracle? When was the last time you cast out a demon? When was the last time you saw someone healed? When was the last time you led someone to Christ? The Christian life is a supernatural life, and it's governed by and driven by faith. And I believe there are certain disciplines you have to not only participate in, but I would say master. You have to master the disciplines in order for you to walk in a level of faith that is uncommon. And God right now, he's been doing it all the time actually, but there's a heightened sense of God right now, his eyes looking to and fro. Where can I find faith? It's there in the Bible. It's a scripture in the Bible somewhere in the Old Testament. I can't remember where. But it says his eyes are wandering to and fro, looking to see where he will find faith. And I believe right now that's a word for now, that he's looking across the body of Christ. I believe he's looking across this house. Where will I find faith? Where will I find faith? And faith doesn't just, it doesn't happen to you, by the way. It's not something like, give me more faith, Lord. That's an illegal prayer. The prayer that comes from salvation, that comes by the hearing of the word of God, the preaching of the gospel, the faith that comes from that, that's a gift from God. Ephesians 2. It says, this not of yourself is a gift of God. He gives you a supernatural capacity to believe according to his word that was preached. His faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's the only occasion where God goes, here's faith to believe so you can pull on grace and you can come into a new zone. But after that, the rest of the responsibility is for ourselves to actually take the measure of faith that we have and to use it and build it and to grow it. And so we have to have some disciplines to help us, right? So there's four disciplines, and I want to deal with one of them, just one of them this week. It's the discipline of fasting. Fasting. Yay! Just before lunch, we're going to talk about fasting. Since you were born into Adam, which means that you were born with a propensity to sin. You were born with a disposition towards rebellion. Whilst you are a creature of God, the creation of God, the fall, this inherited propensity, this bent towards rebellion, this bent towards sin, actually forces us at some point to start making choices, whether we choose for God or we choose for ourselves. But right from the get-go, when you're born, you know you're hungry because you feel hungry. And so you will, and you're either hungry or you're wet or you're dirty, right? Or you just want to cuddle. I felt you there, Nadia. You just needed a cuddle. There's these innate human instincts, these urges that tell us what we need. And they can be, initially, in the early days of our life, we are governed by them. That's how we navigate, how we communicate the things we need, the things we want. And as we get older and we become trained and discipled more and more and more by a demonic world, we start believing we need a ton of other stuff as well. Apple's new product, or sex. I need sex right now. Or I need everybody to love me, or I need fame, or I need fortune, or I need money, or I need, and our whole life is governed by our gut. It's Paul, I think, who says their God is their stomach. Their God, in other words, they've been governed by what the urges are driving them on the inside. And I believe a real people of faith cannot be plugged into a world system, into a human system, into a self-indulgent system that seeks its own gratification and satisfaction. That the real freedom that comes with the gospel is the ability to deny yourself and to take up your own cross and to put all those things aside and say, the world might think it needs it, but I don't. I yield. I die to myself in that area. I'm not living for myself. I'm not living for my own satisfaction. I'm not living for my own gratification. I am living purely to see one person pleased. And so that's what it is to live out this Christian life. It's to journey from living this life of sensuality in engaging with the world and living a life of spirituality, of living in the life of the Spirit of God. Paul writes in Romans, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live according to the Spirit, and not according to the flesh. So there is this conscious choice. And Paul in Romans 7, the previous chapter, he's talking about the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. I'm like this human tug of war, civil war, fighting on the inside, trying to figure out his freedom. And he's talking about that as a historical thing, but he's coming to the revelation, which he talks about in Romans 8. There's actually no condemnation for those in Christ who live according to the Spirit. And so there is this call for us to pursue a life in the Spirit, not a life governed by the flesh. And he says later in Galatians, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap of. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of. Okay. And so, well, where's fasting come into all this? Well, if you've been governed your whole life since you was a baby, that when you was hungry, your body was telling you things that affected you emotionally, that resulted in, If that's where you start, you've been trained your whole life to know that when your body is telling you something, that it affects your emotions to a point in which you start to really believe you need this, and that somehow without it you're unhappy and you're not satisfied. So let's just start with food, right? There's this new word out there, it's not that new anymore. Hangry. Hangry. You heard that one? Hungry and angry. When you get hungry, it's gone 12. We're talking food. He's got Nando's. Anyone got Nando's after this? Chicken livers, mango and lime. Chicken wings. When you start to think about food, when your body tells you you haven't eaten in like an hour, you're hearing, I'm starving. I'm starving. I find myself saying things, I could eat a scabby donkey right now. I'm starving. My kids, every 10 minutes, I kid you not, every 10 minutes, I'm hungry, I'm starving. Taking a long time. And that all their decision making is governed by the fact that they cannot process the hunger and take charge of it. That this is governing their whole behavior. That the inner urges, which they've lived with their whole lives, are informing them of their behavior right now. This is the way to be. This is the way to get what you want. And we look and we see a world that's governed by people living out of that place. I need this, so I'm going to do whatever I can do to get it. The number of news articles and reports I've read in the last few weeks of people being robbed, knifed for something somebody else desired, they felt they needed to have. And this is the world. And you know what? The church has to have a response to model something different. The church, the body of Christ, has to show what it is to live free from needing things and needing oneself to be satisfied. That to actually find the satisfaction in our God. And so fasting trains the flesh. When you deny yourself food, your whole body kicks off. It kicks off. I can guarantee, you know, I can have, I could go a year without a cheese and onion toasty. Just high carb, right? I can go a whole year without it. It wouldn't even cross my mind. But the day I start a fast, I'm telling you, I see the toasty maker at the back of the cupboard. I'm like, oh, I've not had one of them in ages. Oh, it must be a year. Oh. And I've got to have this. How long's this fast, Lord? How long? 21 days. No. And everything in you is screaming out. Everything within is crying out. It's telling you, you need to have it. But you know what? Real faith is developed when you know how to hold your ground because you're doing something with God and for God. Real faith says, you know what, toasty maker? Right now, I break every demon manifesting out of you in Jesus' name. Right? I silence your words right now. I see you talking to me. Cheese be gone. Real faith holds the ground. Real faith says, no way, not today. I'm standing my ground. No matter how painful this feels right now, I'm holding the ground. You know, that's what real discipline is. Discipline is the root word of disciple. It's one who is trained. And the problem is, we have all been trained, but we've been trained by our own self. Children of God are trained by the Father who gives His Holy Spirit to enable you to become bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. To be able to be one who is of faith, who looks in the face of challenge and trial and says, you know what, not today. My God is greater. We just sang it this morning. My God is greater. My God is stronger. He is higher than any cheese and onion toasty. Does everyone fancy a cheese and onion toasty right now? Now, here's the thing. Fasting, when it's... Let me tell you something. Fasting Facebook is not a fast. Fasting social media is not a fast. Fasting Coronation Street is not a fast. Fasting is solely related to food. Right? And so don't kid yourselves. I just did a 21-day fast. Not watch Coronation Street. Don't tell me. I'm going to catch up in the omnibus. That's not a fast. That's like fasting food for 40 days and then having a banquet of all the meals you missed afterwards. That's not fasting. Fasting is the denying yourself of physical food in order to cultivate a time of spirituality and a season of growth where you're no longer governed by what you feel, that you're governed by what God says to you. That's what it's about. And so even when you're planning, I'm going to fast breakfast tomorrow. It's not a fast. You fasted already. That's why it's called breakfast. That's not a fast. A fast actually doesn't begin until the time you start feeling the pain. So some of you can fast today just because you forget, because you're busy. That's not a fast. And if you didn't feel it, you didn't get hungry, that's not a fast. A fast is when the pain kicks in. That's when you start counting. It may take 2 days for the pain to kick in. You can't count those 2 days because you only start feeling the pain day one. That's where it begins. Oh, this is hurting. Now I'm counting. How long, Lord? 21 days. You take it one day at a time, 1 hour at a time with the Lord. And as that pain kicks in, the more it screams, the more you scream back. The more you hold the ground, the more you press into the word, the more you press in prayer, and you hold on until you break through. And there'll come a day, I guarantee it, there comes a day where you know what? That voice is like a... And it's gone. It's gone. And then you're on the home run then. That's where you're now starting to walk in breakthrough. It's where you're really starting to walk in a level of obedience and faith, which God rewards mightily. And I tell you, when it comes then to pursuing supernatural power, that when you get a story, by the way, we're still in Mark 9, like this one. Mark 9, verse 14 onwards. This is the story of a demon-possessed boy. The disciples, who had a track record of easily casting out demons, come across this boy who chucks himself into the water and into the fire, and he's manifesting like crazy, and they're suddenly thrown. You see, there are some circumstances. If somebody comes to you right now, and they say, I've got a headache, can you pray for me? You go, sure, I'll pray for you right now. In Jesus' name, you'll be healed. And you've got all the faith in the world. But when they roll in a wheelchair, and they're paralyzed from the waist down, they can't feel their toes, and they say, can you pray for me? I'm pretty sure everyone in this room starts to go, Adam Fountain at the back, though, no, he won't. He'll lead the way. He's in there straight away. But what he does is the plugged in to the world, we see the issue, we see the mountain before us, the challenge screams louder at us, and we have the issue. I've been in this situation myself. We were at this outpouring in Nepal in 2011, tons of people getting healed, all kinds of miracles, demons cast out, real ease in it. And a lot of things where I've got a gastric problem, praying right now, be healed. And they come back the next day with the testimony of healing. But then there was this one occasion where a woman's carried in by four guys, paralyzed from the waist down. And the pastor brings me over and he says, let's pray for her right now, get her legs back. I'm like, And I go up and go, right now, in Jesus' name, we just speak, be healed. And then I move on. There's 1,000 people there, so you can look busy, right, and run away from the opportunity. And I did. I ran, and I'm like, okay, yes, fire, 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 fire. And everyone's going down. And you're like, yay. Oh, but then over here, the pastor's dragging me back. And he's saying, we're not going till she's walking. I'm like, And I stood there, and literally my faith was down here. It was down here. And we prayed and we prayed and prayed, and those guys had more faith operating than I had operating. And they dragged her up, and I'm thinking, if we're in the UK right now, we are getting sued. This is, but they dragged her up, and her feet aren't working, and she's, all out of not very much dignity there at all. But eventually she stood, and we're like, okay, this is interesting. And she stood straight, and then they let go, and she wobbles a little bit. And we're like, okay, this is interesting. I feel a little beep. Faith goes up a little bit more. And then another beep goes up a little bit more. I'm going, okay, give me your hand. Come on, let's do this right now. Spine fused together. Cords, everything work. Be healed. And then her legs start shaking. And then she starts to try and move forward. She puts one foot in front of the other. And, within 5 minutes, she's running around the room completely healed. Incredible, incredible miracle. God's wanting to do that every day of the week. But you know what? You know what I recognized? I recognized my faith hadn't... My faith had, My faith hadn't been trained to a level that it could bench press that weight of miracle. And I believe the measure of faith we have, it's not about quantity of faith, it's about the quality of faith. It's about whether or not, at the end of the day, if you want to be able to bench press, 200 kilos or something like that. Is that possible, Ben? Do people do that? Is that just a number? Is that easy? It's a big number. If you want to bench press 200 kilos, right, then you might think, you look at people like Arnold Schwarzenegger and think, oh, he'll do it because he's got more muscles than me. But it doesn't work like that, you see, because you've got the same number of muscles in your body that he has. Except his muscles are trained and yours are not. If I go under that, I'm pretty sure I'm going to chop my head off with it. But if I train over a period of time, eventually I will be able to do it. And I believe it's like that with the miraculous. I believe it's like that with faith, that if we will train our faith and we are faithful in small things and we don't want to go straight in for the wheelchair, but we start praying for the headaches and we start believing that they're going to get healed, you'll start to see your faith increase and increase and increase. And it's not about, I say, getting a muscle transplant so that you can bench. You have to train what you have to make it work for you. The problem is we've not been working it. Fasting trains your flesh, but it also empowers your faith. Fasting will allow you to start to walk in a measure of faith you weren't walking in before. Why? Because your first battle was you. The first battle was dealing with your own flesh. The first demon you took down wasn't even a demon, it was you. Your biggest enemy. And you defeated that. So your faith gets to go up to the next level. You start going on heavier weights then. I remember the first demon I cast out, took me over 3 hours to do it. Now I'm getting bored if you're not gone in 10 minutes. Seriously. There was this one time though, there was this lad, I'd come to speak at the conference, this lad, and he was in this room. They were all trying to cast this demon out of him. And I tell you what, it was the most freakiest thing I've ever seen. All his bones and his arms and his legs were all twisting around the wrong way. And he was twisting his neck round tons of times, going tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. And they bring me in going, can you please free him? I'm like, But up until then, you know, I've been dealing with, you know, the easy ones. I had my 3 hour breakthrough one, which took 3 hours. But after that, it got easier and easier and easier and easier. And then I come in and this is like, okay, this is next level. Okay, what is even, and the stench, it was disgusting. How I like, But here's the thing with growth in your faith. That as you develop a fasting lifestyle, God will start putting you in situations that are ever increasingly more challenging to take your faith up to the next level and the next level and the next level. Why? Because he's wanting to do a ton of stuff through you. He's wanting to change the world through you, but it requires radical, crazy, reckless abandonment type of faith that just says, you know what, throw caution to the wind. I'm all in. I'm going to do this. It's a go until it's a no. I'm on an adventure. I'm going, and I'm making this happen. It's that kind of faith that changes the world, and it's that kind of faith he wants to see in you and me. And it's we start by, firstly, the discipline of fasting. So let me encourage you to fast regularly. Properly. Not telly. Not Facebook. Food. To do it consistently. And you will start to see your faith develop. Let's stand. Just put your hands on your hearts. Father, we recognize you're looking for faith. You're looking for powerful believers who will do mighty exploits in the earth. Help us to become ones, Lord, that will cultivate a discipline of fasting. Lord, that will position us as ones who can believe you for great things. Right now, Lord God, start to speak to us about what you want us to do and when you want us to do it. Help us, Lord, to walk this out in Jesus' name. Amen.